Hello, welcome to a new episode. But before we get to that, a word about our sponsor. Hey folks, welcome to an all new episode of the podcast. Glenn is talking, man from New York. I am Glenn Mann. So it's November, and that means we are doing that stupid thing with the clocks, right? Where we fall back, we lose an hour of daylight, I guess. And in the, you know, in contrast, in the spring, when we spring forward and we gain, it's one of those things that is really annoying. And like it starts getting dark at 5 o'clock, which is all depressing and glum. Now, I mentioned in the previous podcast, November is actually, I think, a pretty good month holiday wise. But this is the one of the things I really hate about November, is the whole time change thing. And it also takes you a couple of days, maybe a couple of weeks, to get readjusted as far as your sleeping patterns are concerned. Now, in this day and age, it's cool that we have so many digital devices where we don't have to worry about actually physically changing the clocks, which when I was a kid, it was like, oh, we got to like physically change the clock, and we got to like manually program the digital clocks that we have. You got to do all this freaking work. These days, everything kind of updates itself, except unless if you work like in a watch store, you work at Tiffany's and you got like all that stuff, you know, put on some light gloves and manually do it. So, yeah, not really. I always hate this sort of time that we have to do this. So, as I record this, it's less than 24 hours before the start. Well, actually, though, exactly 24 hours, I think, around before the start of the New York City Marathon, the 50th edition of the marathon. Last year's, of course, was canceled because of the pandemic. And when I was a kid, I used to love watching the marathon. As a family, we would watch it. And I used to think that when I was an adult, I would actually run in the marathon. I used to be like, when I get older, I'm going to train and run in the marathon. Now, no, that is not happening. Not happening. But it's one of the great events, one of the great New York events, one of the great sort of competitions. And I'm always admired of people who do decide, I'm going to run a marathon. And they train and they do half marathons. And I guess, do they have quarter marathons? And is there a marathon where you can just walk like 10 blocks? Because I could totally do that. Is there like a 10 block walkathon? I could totally kill that. I still would like a little number thing, you know, and like something. But I could totally rock that. But yeah, so that's what's happening here. The United States House of Representatives passed a huge infrastructure bill. And let's face it, folks, we need some infrastructure. We need it badly in this country, man. We got a lot of run-down, raggedy-looking bridges and roads and other, you know, access points of transportation and stuff. So, yeah, we need that infrastructure, right? And, you know, we need it for the integrity of, like, how we deliver services and goods and people, but also just cosmetically, like, there's a lot of ugliness, especially here in New York City. Like, we got a lot of ugly looking roads and bridges, and like, seriously, can we at least get a paint job on some of this stuff? Like, really? Like, so that's big news. The mayor-elect here in New York City, Eric Adams, has vowed that New York City is going to be like a cryptocurrency, like, capital or something like that. He said he's going to take his first couple of checks in Bitcoin, and okay. But now, cryptocurrency and, like, the whole thing, that's become sort of like a polarizing thing. There are people who are champions of, religiously, of cryptocurrency and things like Bitcoin and Dogecoin and all the other coins, and the people who absolutely don't understand it, and the people who do understand it but they hate it because of the energy and the environmental things. And but always, whenever something's around for a little while, like something pops up, maybe like, this is just a fad, it's not going anywhere, it's a scam, but the thing is still going on. After a couple of years, at some point you have to sort of acquiesce and say, okay, this thing is here to stay, and how do you work with it or around it or incorporate into whatever you're doing? So I don't think the blockchain or cryptocurrency is going anywhere. And I guess the thing is, how do you make this more energy efficient? How do you make it transparent enough to, like, I guess, avoid corruption and everything, but also hold on to the things that make it unique, that people are attracted to it. But then, I mean, it's a real thing. Speaking of money, there was a New York Post story, I believe. It was a young lady out in, I think, Nashville. She was on TikTok saying that she got, like, a check for 1 cent. She's a waitress. This is sort of like her paid wage. It wasn't really, I don't know how many tips she received. She didn't really say that. But there was, you know, people were kind of polarizing because she was saying that people should tip better. And people were like, some people in the comments, I guess, were like, no, I don't, it's not my responsibility to make sure you get paid well or to support this business. And so I think it's really weird, people's feelings on tipping. Like, I feel like I believe in tipping. I believe you should do it generously. And I was younger. My only regret is that when I was younger, I didn't get bigger tips, right? Now, probably because I was just super broke, as opposed to just being regular broke. But being super broke. But yeah, I feel like I wish I would have, like, if I could go back in time and, like, when I went to places and add a little bit more money to the bill and to the tip, I would do that. But people act like it's such a, like, huge imposition or something on them to, like, someone serving you and they're, like, trying to make a living. And what's the big deal? Like, you're going out? Like, if you're going out, then you guys got a little bit of money to, you're not home eating beans or, you know, ramen. So, why not, you know, help make someone else's evening or afternoon a little bit better, sort of, you know, add some value to their, you know, to what they're doing. It's amazing, I think, sometimes, like, how selfish people can be in the name of being fair. They say it's about fairness and all of this stuff, but it's really kind of selfishness and a little bit of cruelty. And that's like a whole nother podcast episode, maybe even not an episode, maybe like a three-part. You can talk about how, like, cruelty is, like, sort of ingrained in the DNA of society and culture, but we often mask it with, like, you know, things that might be considered, like, tough love or self-determination, but it's just really, like, we kind of like being mean to each other for the sake of being mean, but we like to, you know, disguise it as being something that has value or nobility to it, which, you know, I don't think it's true, but yeah, it's just, and it's amazing that we have to have these issues. And have you seen this with the whole job debate this year, with, you know, companies who have, like, who usually have low-wage workers not being able to find workers, and people, you know, saying, well, why, you know, companies are having to raise wages to try to attract workers, and people, like, you know, some people seem to have a problem with that. But for years, people, when we talk about low wages and talk about raising, especially, like, minimum wage jobs, fast food workers, or positions that have been labeled low skilled, people have said, well, they're low skilled, so they shouldn't get paid a lot of money. Or these jobs are just for teenagers or part-time retirees or something like that. But now that the people with these job positions are having this difficulty having these positions filled, obviously, you're telling me all the teenagers in the world are, like, so obviously these jobs weren't just for teenagers or people. These were people who were trying to support themselves and support their families. And the fact that that's, like, polarized and that we have these huge battles about, you know, living wages and how much money, and I know it seems cruel and counterproductive and exhausting, but that's where we're at. So, talking about money, so there was a story, it was the AP, a tiny house. You know what a tiny house is, right? In case you don't know what that is, I'm sure you do. A tiny house is a tiny house. It's a home that's very small, usually maybe 1 to 2 people can live in. It has a small footprint. They've become very popular over the years. There's tons of programming about it. There's, like, been several shows, like Tiny House Hunting and Tiny House Adventures and Tiny House. There's been a whole bunch of programming about it. It's become a sort of a novelty that has become something that's become, I guess, a part of, really, of the real estate scene. People want tiny houses. maybe because they don't want a lot of space to take care of. And you can say that the tiny house movement is probably in the response to not only the sort of the economic fallout that we saw starting during the Great Recession, but also the McMansion sort of thing, where these huge houses being built that are basically oversized, really, like tons of space that not really needed, right? And especially in like suburban areas, there's these huge houses being built. So the tiny house is probably like the sort of the response to that, where people wanted something smaller. But tiny houses have gotten more expensive. They were known for being cheap compared to buying a regular house. So this tiny house in the Boston area sold for like $300,000, right? Whereas in most of the time, tiny houses, from watching TV shows, people buy a tiny house for like $20,000 or $30,000 maybe. But now houses are becoming almost the same price as regular size houses. Which is, I mean, crazy. I mean, but then again, everyone's trying to sort of find a way to live efficiently and effectively, right? That's why some people are attracted to van life, right? People in this, you go on YouTube, check out the hashtag, tons of videos of people who live in their van. And they camp in national parks, they live this very sort of nomadic lifestyle. Then you have people who don't have, they're not a van, they don't live in a van, but they live a nomadic lifestyle. They could be digital nomads who are living somewhere overseas. They could be nomads here in the country, in the United States, going from job to job in different areas seasonally, which I've always thought was kind of cool. I met someone years ago who was like, basically lived like, depending on the time of the season of the year, lived like in different parts of the country. Like in the summertime, he was in New York working. And then, like, after the summer, he was, like, in the West Coast working. And then, like, in the spring, he was, like, somewhere, like, in the Midwest where he was from. Like, he did seasonal work. He had regular seasonal work in these different locations. And he kind of just rotated back and forth between, like, New York and, like, California. And, like, somewhere in the Midwest, I forgot, but... And I'm like, that seems kind of cool. Because, like, you're, especially for someone where you get bored easily, whereas, like, you get tired of the same thing over and over again, you know, you're going to have this, you know, the end of this time period, there's going to be a change. You're going to leave, and you're probably meet some new friends, and maybe lose some friends, but you're going to go here and go back there, re sort of connect with friends and stuff. I always thought it was a pretty interesting lifestyle. So the nomadic lifestyle has become really popular, probably because I think you see that. With the Great Resignation, all that stuff, people were just kind of like want to feel less attached to certain things. Now, I saw a video on TikTok. There was a young lady who had quit her job. She was like, had a corporate consultant job. And if you go on YouTube, you see lots of people who are corporate consultants who have been part of this Great Resignation, people who have decided to quit their job. And she was saying how she still kind of has, like, the trauma. Even though she's not working for this company anymore, she still has, like, anxiety whenever she gets an email or something. Like, she's still, like, feels, like, traumatized from this work experience. Even though she's not there anymore and she's doing her own thing. So I think people just feel kind of bullied and abused, and they just want to do different things. You know, which is great. So, movies, have you been to the movies yet? I wonder. I haven't been to the movies since the pandemic started, and even sometime before the pandemic started. I've talked about this in the podcast before. The movie theater experience for me is just people texting and talking and eating too loud and walking in late and talking and feet up on that. So, but The Eternals is a Marvel film. Starring Angelina Jolie and Salma Hayek and a whole bunch of other names. So this movie, it got a lot of bad reviews before a lot of people even saw it. And by, I mean, the people who gave it bad reviews hadn't even seen the movie yet. And there's been a lot of sort of talk about is because this movie has it's a mostly minority cast. It's, you know, some people don't like Marvel movies. That's another issue and everything. But I just think... This is another example how almost everything every piece of entertainment product either has become or has the potential to become proxy in a battle that has nothing to do with the actual content, which just makes life, to me, more exhausting, more frustrating. Instead of evaluating things independently, is it good, is it not good, is it entertaining, is it not entertaining, it just becomes sort of this battle for whatever. I don't think even rational people, or the people, I don't think people who have these emotions and feelings can even express a rational thought on all sort of the furor and the sort of the vitriol and the sort of the venom that you hear over certain issues, you know, social media. It's like, before in the past, I've called social media like a conflict machine. Especially Twitter, which I spend a lot of time on Twitter, but Twitter produces a lot of conflict. It's like perpetual conflict machine. So that's how it goes with that situation. And, you know, hey, holiday season's coming. People are trying to buy turkeys. They say turkeys going to be really expensive this year because of, you know, all the prices. Now, first of all, I don't know about you, but I don't like turkey, really. A turkey sandwich? Yes. Turkey at the dinner table or roast? No, not really. I can't think. I don't even remember the last time my family we had turkey for Thanksgiving. It's been like roasted chickens since forever. I think I was really young. Once in a while, we may have had turkey, but it was like very rare. And that's because a lot of people don't, and look, some people, let's be honest, man, they don't know how to make turkey. They just put a bird in the oven and think that's it. This is a technique. You gotta have some. You gotta finesse it. This is a bird that has to be loved, right? You just can't throw the turkey in the oven. You gotta make sure you got the marinade. You gotta get the brine. There's a lot of stuff that goes on. If you're not willing to do that, your turkey's gonna suffer, and your people that you're serving the meal are gonna suffer. In fact, one of my favorite TV episodes of any TV show is The West Wing. Off the top of my head, I cannot remember the season. But The West Wing, of course, is about a fictional White House. Martin Sheen plays President Bartlet. And he calls the Butterball Turkey Hotline. Like, first of all, he didn't even know that it existed. Like, someone tells him there's a hotline. At one point, he suggests there should be, like, a place where you can call where you can get advice how to make a turkey. And someone says, yes, that does exist. It's called the Butterball Hotline. And he's like, really? So he actually calls them, like, he's the president, and he's, like, pretending to be, like, just a nobody to get advice on how to make turkey. And that's, like, one of my favorite, like, episodes of any TV show. In fact, I usually watch that episode. Actually, The West Wing has some pretty good holiday episodes. Thanksgiving, Christmas. And in fact, I'm sure, if you're like me, I kind of gravitate to, like, whenever certain holidays, like, I gravitate, okay, my favorite shows have these particular holiday theme shows, I have to watch them. That becomes sort of a tradition. But getting back to, yeah, like, you know what? If you can't make the turkey right, then leave that dry-ass turkey alone. Get yourself a chicken, get yourself a duck, maybe, or just, you know. But relax, right? Really. Don't traumatize family and friends. Now, the thing that's really, really troubling is they said that there might be a shortage of jelly cranberry sauce. What the hell is going on? Now we're in trouble. Really, jelly cranberry sauce, the holy grail of sides at Thanksgiving and holiday meals? There might be a shortage of that in this country, in this generation, in this age? That's unacceptable to me. I don't know about you, but I find that unacceptable. So while we're working on infrastructure, let's get the jelly cranberry sauce infrastructure back on track so Americans can have jelly cranberry sauce at their kitchen table, at their dinner table on Thanksgiving. The founding fathers did not sacrifice and build this great nation so that we cannot have jelly cranberry sauce. People did that march so that we cannot have jelly cranberry sauce. There have been wars and rumors of wars just so we cannot have jelly cranberry sauce. It is our right. It's part of our pursuit of happiness. On that note, I'm going to wrap it up. Thank you for listening. You can find all the contact information in the podcast notes. You can, you know, email. You can find on my social media, Venmo, if you would like to buy this podcast host a cup of coffee or a donut or two donuts and a cup of coffee. Thank you for listening. Glenn is talking, man from New York.